Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is a great day to be Wisconsinite. It is Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. It is once again
Hump Day.
That's right. The Geico Camel, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome in to hour number two of the big program. Many thanks to Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio, heard every morning from 6 until 8 here at Civic Media. And also to Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project, for joining us as they do each and every Wednesday to kind of talk through and analyze the speech that we took earlier from President Joe Biden outside of Racine at the Gateway Technical College IMET Center, announcing this infrastructure project with Microsoft on AI, and president saying that 2,300 union construction jobs will be created because of this project, and another 2,000 permanent workers to begin with because of Microsoft's investment along with Biden's infrastructure project.
You know, believe it or not, I think I trust Microsoft more than I trust Foxconn.
Really? Shocking, I know, right? Yeah. No, I thought it was a great speech. And off the text here, I believe Mr. Zommers on the YouTube part of it here, had a comment from Steve, watching on YouTube. We appreciate your viewership, Steve. He says, quote, "That speech," Biden's, he means, "was one of the most empowered, optimistic, and forward-looking that I have heard for Wisconsinites in a long time. AI is the future, and we will be on the leading edge of the opportunity," unquote. I couldn't agree with you more, Steve.
Definitely.
I think Trigvi and Pat overall agreed as well that's what we need more of.
Go ahead. We didn't get to hear it here, but I got to listen to beforehand the president of Microsoft, was it Brad Smith, I think? Mm-hmm. Very generic sounding name. And then a local union president in the Racine area. They talked about what this means and had very similar sentiment to Steve that, yeah, like, this is important. We're really happy to be doing it here.
Yeah. And then the caller we had last hour agreed with the caller as well, saying this is what we need more of from Joe Biden, from Tony Evers, from Democrats in general. Let's get on the aggressive here, and aggressive meaning let's talk about the success. Let's talk about the success stories. Let's talk about what's actually getting done. Because there's a lot of narrative out there being fostered on the Republican mega side that, of course, doom and gloom and everything's terrible. And think about that for a minute. I mean, as a guy who ran political campaigns for a long time, I don't ever remember basing a campaign on, gee, things are terrible. You know, you can always point out your oppositions where you disagree or say, look, I mean, this is on the wrong track, but you want to base a campaign on this is what this candidate brings. This is the vision. Here's how we're going to offer hope. One of my old bosses fond of saying, you got to sell people hope. He's absolutely right. And Joe Biden getting it done today, not just selling people hope, but actually bringing results to the state of Wisconsin. So I think this is exactly where the Biden campaign should be, and let's have more of it. Speaking of that, by the way, I got word here this morning that Vice President Harris will be back in the state, I believe in the southeast part of the state, not confirmed location and time yet. But once again, it's showing that no one's taken Wisconsin for granted this time. Wisconsin will not be the quote-unquote flyover state. We're going to see a lot of these appearances, and they're going to keep coming in 2024, which I think is a good thing, that presidential candidates are listening to Wisconsinites, listening to us about where we want to take America. And again, listening to Trigvi in past broadcasts and others as well, in the political strategy class, these experts that are out there who see all kinds of polling, who have run national campaigns, it has not changed. The popular line of thought is that this presidential election will essentially come down to the results of Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Arizona. And the one in greatest flux and probably, the deciding state will be Wisconsin. And in Wisconsin, whoever wins, Biden or Trump, will probably win by somewhere between 15 and 20,000 votes. That's how close it is. And that's why each of us has opportunity to make our voices heard at the ballot box. I want to go back to where we finished up on this last hour, and I want to revisit it, Mr. Zomers. Tell me when I want to go back to that cut to Johnson. Let me know when that's ready to go, and we'll go from there. Because there's press conference this morning out in Washington, D.C. I guess it's very personal to me because it gets to the crux of why I left the Republican Party in 2011. That here in Wisconsin at the time, Republicans controlled the legislature and the governorship and Scott Walker. And they were talking in this closed Republican Senate conference. And forgive me if you've heard this story before, but it's important for those who haven't. And they were debating these so-called voter ID bills, which, for the record, I'm fine with a voter ID, having to show a legit ID to vote. But it should be easy to acquire a legitimate voter ID, and it should be an easy process. And some of these so-called voter ID bills back in the day in 2011 were meant specifically to make it harder to get a voter ID. And I gave the example in Madison. The main Department of Motor Vehicle, DMV office, was on Sheboygan Avenue, still is actually. Department of Transportation, where the Secretary of Department of Transportation, where that large agency is located, is kind of more or less not quite in the middle of Madison, but close, on a main bus line. And that's where you went to get your driver's license, renew it, and also to get a state ID if you didn't drive. After they passed this bill, one of the things the Walker administration did was they approved a new Department of Transportation building, essentially in the same location. Fine. But they intentionally moved the one office where you got your driver's license and renewed it and got your voter ID. They moved that one office way out to the far west side of Madison, actually in Middleton, off of a main bus line. It's hard to even find it driving. I have to put it in my GPS just to get there. And they did that. And it, by the way, it's a rented space. So instead of putting it in a state-owned building like it had been for years, they are now renting a space, thanks to Scott Walker, on the far west side of Madison, in Middleton. And they did that intentionally to make it more difficult for people to acquire driver's licenses and voter IDs. Why? Because it's in Madison, typically a city, Dane County, an area where voters tend to vote more Democratic. That's what I'm talking. This was all intentional. And I witnessed this. And my boss, former Senator Dale Schultz, was the only person of the Republican caucus who said something out loud and opposed it. And at the time, State Senator Glenn Grossman, now in Congress, said, "Well, Dale, we might as well hurry up and do it because you know the Democrats would do the same thing if they were in charge." And at that, Dale turned around and he said, "You stay here, I'm going to my office." And he walked out in protest, and I sat there for 90 minutes-ish listening to all this crap. And Mary Lozick said, "Hey, we got to," Mary Lozick said, we got to think about how this would affect places like Milwaukee and college campuses," unquote. Meaning, how do we disenfranchise black and brown folks and college kids who tend, not always, but tend to vote more Democratic? And that was the moment that I said I didn't sign up for this. And it's the moment I walked away from the Republican Party. I finished up my term as Dale's chief of staff because he asked me to, and because he was on the right side of history. And it was an honor to work and finish out his term as he fought. He was the only Republican to vote against Act 10, helped delay at least the mining legislation in northern Wisconsin that gutted environmental laws. and stood up against these so-called voter ID bills. But that's why I left the Republican Party, because they were intentionally disenfranchising people from a constitutional right to vote. I heard it with my own ears. I saw it with my own eyes. Fast forward a couple of years after Dale got out of politics in January of 2015, I think it was 2016, the 2016 primary election, when I owned a small coffee shop, and one of my baristas, originally from California, happened to be a Latino guy, and he had a valid California driver's license. And he went to the DMV to switch it out for a Wisconsin one so he could vote. He was a big Bernie Sanders guy. He wanted to vote for Bernie. So he went a couple of days before the election. And remember, for those of us of a certain age, if you had an out-of-state license, as long as it was still valid, you just went in and you switched it out for a Wisconsin one. Well, those very bills that I saw being crafted to disenfranchise Black and brown and young people from voting in Wisconsin, one of those changes said that you could no longer do what I just said, take an out-of-state valid driver's license and switch it out for a Wisconsin one. Now the law is you have to have an original birth certificate, a valid U.S. passport, or a valid military ID. Well, Miguel, my barista, was from California. His birth certificate was back in California, and not very many of us, I don't think, could put our hands on our birth certificate, in a couple of hours. So he couldn't vote. He finally got the stuff and voted in the general. But I saw with my own eyes the fruition of the Republican vision, and it sickened me. And I took to Facebook and wrote something that was picked up by the press. And fast forward a few more months, I ended up being the lead witness. Then attorney Josh Call, before he became attorney general, led the charge. And I testified lead witness in a federal trial on voter ID against Scott Walker and his administration. And we won, by and large. And that's why I'm so passionate about this stuff. And when the media picked this up, this story, guess who I got a call from? Glenn Grossman, who was running for Congress and now is in Congress. And Glenn called me up and said, I think you're misremembering. And I said, no, Glenn, I'm not. And then we started talking about voting in Wisconsin. I'll tell you what Congressman Glenn Grossman said to the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 20 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on Wednesday, May 8th. Finishing up this story, I had started there on the other side back when I worked for State Senator Dale Schultz, Republican. I was Republican myself, left the party because of what I'm talking about. Well, left the party because in 2011, I witnessed these efforts to, and turned out to be, they did, suppress the vote. So fast forward from 2011, when I witnessed this in the room, to about 2016, when one of my baristas, happened to be a Latino guy from California, tried to go out and switch out his valid California driver's license for a Wisconsin one. And because of the law change that I witnessed, he couldn't do it. So it denied him his right to vote in the Democratic primary in 2016. He ended up voting in the general. And then Glenn Grossman, because this all came out in the press, and Glenn called me and at my coffee shop, and he kept calling. I told Miguel, I said, just tell him I'll call him back. I have his, and finally I just took the phone because we were busy. I was conducting business. I said, Glenn, I'll call you back. All right. And for those who don't know Glenn, he's a quirky, dude but to have a conversation with him, it's very interesting. Anyway, I called him back and I stepped out in the hall and I said, Glenn, I'm not misremembering anything. That's what he accused me of. He said, I think you're misremembering. I said, no, Glenn, here's what I heard. I recounted it. And he said, well, that's, you know, look, I mean, he says, we have to do this because, you know, of these quote unquote illegals, his word, not mine, who are voting. I said, Glenn, who? I said, we did in Dale's office, my boss's office, did our own investigation. We only found at the time two people who were accused of voter fraud in Wisconsin. One was a Republican staffer in the legislature who voted in Madison, and the other one, and she voted again up in northern Wisconsin. And the other person was Robin Voss's then, I believe it was wife number two, his estranged now ex-wife who voted in Racine and then voted in her hometown out in Idaho when she moved back to her parents. I said, Glenn, where's the proof? Where's the proof, Glenn, that this is happening? And Glenn Grothman said to me, hand to God, I would swear it again under federal oath. He said, quote, well, Todd, we think it's happening. We just can't prove it, unquote. I said, so Glenn, you're willing to disenfranchise Wisconsinites' voting rights because of something you think is happening? And the call ended shortly thereafter, you know, amicably. I mean, Glenn doesn't swear. He doesn't, you know, he just, well, I guess we'll have to agree to disagree. He couldn't answer my question. That was in 2016. Here is what's happening this morning. It all comes around, right? Here's what's happening this morning in Washington, D.C. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, holding a presser with other MAGA Republicans, including Stephen Miller from the old Trump administration, accusing quote-unquote illegals, their word, not mine, of voting, and saying they have to introduce new legislation to keep non-Americans from voting in federal elections, which is already the law. And someone asked him, a reporter, well, can you prove this? Here's Mike Johnson.
No. So actually, on the first question, I mean, the answer is that it's unanswerable. That is the problem. States are not allowed right now to prove, if somebody claims on that simple form that they're a citizen, they can vote. They're not allowed to prove whether it's true or not. We all know intuitively that a lot of illegals are voting in federal elections, but it's not been something that is easily provable. We don't have that number. This legislation...
All right, I just want to get that part of the record again. We just can't prove it, which... Number one, in Wisconsin, you have to prove you are a citizen to vote in an election. Number two, in Wisconsin, there is no proof of any amount of sizable election fraud at all, other than a handful of people across the state over many years, which would not make a difference in any outcome of any election. There is no problem. And the Republicans continue to admit, the MAGA folks, the Trumpsters, they cannot prove it. They think it's happening, but they just can't prove it. From Glenn Grothman's mouth in 2016 to Mike Johnson's mouth in 2024. Maybe Glenn and Mike had a coffee. Maybe Glenn said, he'll just say this. Could be. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Dave in Madison, thanks for being patient. Dave, what say you?
Yeah. I used to work for a poll worker for many years at a medium-sized jurisdiction in Wisconsin. And when I was there, and there has never, at least at the time I was working there, because we were asked, been even an allegation of voter fraud in the history of the jurisdiction. It's a fairly medium-sized jurisdiction. Secondly, as to the DMV being in Middleton, yeah, that's a real problem because, you know, years ago, I misplaced my license. And this was the run-up to an election. Mm-hmm. And so I had to get another one to vote, even though, you know, I misplaced it and maybe would have found it. But when I got there, they told me, since I had a valid license, even though I didn't have it in card form, I couldn't get a voter ID, and I had to pay, I forget what it was, but it was like $40 or $50 to get a duplicate license. That's a poll tax.
Yeah, right.
I mean, period.
Right.
And then And then, now this part I'm not 100% sure about because it was a while ago, but I remember something about a real hassle getting out there and having, because my car broke down or something. Yep. And even if it didn't happen, that thing could have. I mean, my car could have broken down.
Right.
But well, I remember, having to arrange a ride, and that it was a real hassle.
Yeah, like I said, and that was intentional. I can tell you from, being in those rooms, that things like you just described, that was intentionally done to help suppress the vote by Republicans. And that's what made me leave the party. So, Dave, I appreciate you sharing your story. Thank you so much, Dave, in Madison, 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark, about a minute and a half left. It's all yours. Go ahead.
Yeah, once again, I'm going to say this again. The Fifth Commandment says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness," which there's a subtle difference between "thou shalt not lie" and "thou shalt not bear false witness," because you can take facts and actually string them together in such a way that it's actually bearing false witness. But there's no factual basis in what Mike Johnson is saying here. That there's not any immigrant. There's not probably just a very, very few immigrants that are actually trying to get in and vote because it's already a crime. I mean, and for them not to come out and actually say, well, this is already on the books, but we're changing the law, we're subtly changing the law, we're tweaking the law, but they're actually bearing false witness by saying that this is actually happening right now, that there's not a law to prevent, that allows non-citizens to vote in our elections, that it is just, and needs to be called out on it. I mean, that it is ironic to me that these guys that, they claim to be, right in line there with Jesus, and they're continuing to violate the commandments. I mean that.
Yeah. I totally agree, Mark. Thank you very much. Up against the clock. In fact, we'll talk more about that on the other side. If you want to give us a call, we'll appreciate the listenership. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Stay with us. The All Balls Show for a Wednesday rolls along on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Talibal Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along with us on a Wednesday. Time, by the way, a quick promo, quick plug for those watching on the stream, YouTube, Facebook, and the Twix, not Twitter, not X, but Twix, as Craig Ferguson calls it. I am wearing some of our brand new merch here at Civic Media. I believe this is my favorite t-shirt of them all. It has a great, for those not on the visual, I'll explain it, kind of a powder blue, Civic blue outline or graphic of the state of Wisconsin. And there are all these cool circles all over the state. It looks a little Frank Lloyd Wright-ish, but what it is, they are the signals, the map of the signals for all of the Civic Media stations. So you can see we cover the state.
I think it's a really cool shirt, personally. Yeah.
And the writing says, tune into your community. So, and that's what Civic's all about, you understand?
Is there anything on the back of this one?
Well, now you're going to make me turn around and show my balding head, but no, I don't think so, right?
No, there is not. No,
there is no actual wording in the back of this one. But it's what I like about it is it's tasteful, it's a little understated, but it gets the point across.
Yes, I agree.
So, yeah, you can. And if you too would like a Civic Media merchandise t-shirt like this one or a hat or other things, go to civicmedia.us. Civicmedia.us. And I think it says shop or something like that. You click on that. And products are made as they're ordered. So it takes maybe a week or two to get the product, but they come packaged very nicely. We ordered ours right through the website, and bada bing, bada boom, there you go. Your Civic Media merch at civicmedia.us. Want to turn to something, a new poll, the latest National Public Radio and Marist poll, showing that America is divided. Well, surprise, surprise, right? But it's even our core values, which I think gets to what our last caller there, Mark from Prairie du Sac, was talking about. Very, very timely. Timely indeed, as Mike Lucas would say, Mark. Talking about American values. In particular, people like Mike Johnson, who are very forward with their avowed Christian faith, on the right wing of the Christian faith, I would say. And I don't think that Mike Johnson represents most of your, you know, Lutherans and Methodists and Catholics in Wisconsin. He is right of that. But these folks in Washington, D.C. today that were having this this presser on I'll call it fake, to use a Trump term, fake legislation, right? It's already for people, already illegal for non-Americans to vote the United States on the federal level. And this legislation today is just duplicitous. Not only that, it's doing the same thing twice, as Gilligan might say. But anyway, you know, Mark brought up there on the other side of the break that what Johnson's doing, a very self-avowed Christian, is bearing false witness. And he's right. So here now, this NPR and Marist poll say that America is divided even on our core values. The poll shows that concern about a rise in fascism is more concerning to Biden supporters and white women, while mega Republicans or Republicans are more likely concerned about the United States becoming weak. Then there's the question, quote, what is the most important value you wish to teach the younger generations? Unquote. Say it one more time. What is the most important value you wish to teach the younger generations? Well, amongst Democrats in this poll, Democrats, the most common response is the golden rule. That is simply to treat others as they wish to be treated. Very good, right? I mean, I think all of us learned that as a child. I learned it growing up in the Methodist Church. I learned it from my parents, my grandparents. Treat others as you wish to be treated. Well, what I learned, of course, as a Ute, you two Utes, as a Ute, is that the golden rule is found in just about every religion, as it turns out. Doesn't matter whether it's, you know, Christianity or Judaism or Muslim or what. That rule, in one form or another, cuts across religion. Now, I've heard people break it down even further to just two words. Be kind. Right? There's a campaign, I think it's based out of Prairie du Sac, Sauk City area, or the school district of Be Kind. I know Culver's has adopted this. Culver's based in that area. They put it up on a lot of their sites. Be kind. Not controversial, sure it should be. Just be kind. Great rule. But mega Republicans most often in this survey have a different answer. When asked what is the most important value you wish to teach the younger generation, mega Republicans, for them, the top value to impart on children is, quote, faith in God, unquote. Which, by the way, nothing wrong with that, but I think it's interesting that Republicans, mega Republicans, list that first. This poll that I'm just talking about, it helps me, and I hope it helps put a little perspective on this, helps to understand how many people who identify as Christians support a person who commonly does not follow the golden rule, but does profess a faith in God. Of course, the Trumpster. And to a lesser degree, Mike Johnson. Because I hear this a lot. How can Christians support someone like Trump who exemplifies anything but Christian virtues in his personal and professional life? And I think for at least people in this poll, the National Public Radio and Marist poll, found that when asked what is the most important value you wish to teach the younger generations, that mega Republican folks more often said faith in God. So it's not so much that Trump is showing in deed or in action his faith, but he's just saying the right thing. Now, I also want to hasten to add, I think there are a lot of good, I'll say run-of-the-mill, meaning your average Lutheran, Methodist, Catholic, what have you, in Wisconsin, would say that guy doesn't represent my Christian values at all. What do you think? Give us, if you were asked, what is the most important value you wish to teach the younger generation, what would it be? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What is the most important value you wish to teach the younger generation? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the Civic Media app on your Apple or Android device. Mr. Zomers, you're still pretty young, but if you know, what would you like to teach younger generation?
For me, absolutely empathy. Just like you were saying, the golden rule, treat others as you want to be treated. Just think about your actions and what they will do to other people before you do them.
Yeah.
Basically, just be intentional and think about what's going to happen to other people.
Yeah, I tend to, and I don't think the two things we're talking about here, faith in God or the golden rule, I don't think that they're at odds with one another. In fact, I think they're probably connected to one another, if you ask me personally. You don't have to say one or the other. But you know, growing up in a home of faith, not only was the Christian faith taught, but so too was the golden rule, do unto others, right? And so it doesn't matter whether someone believes the same as me or not. I should, as I was taught as a kid, show everyone empathy, compassion, and treat them how I would like to be treated. So in other words, if I was in a situation where I was in a group of people that didn't believe the same as me, how would I want to be treated? Right. Would I want to be accepted or ostracized? And so I think it does all come back down to empathy and teaching the golden rule. Chris from Janesville listening in on WMDX says, the lesson is, may the fourth and empathy.
As in, may the fourth be with you?
I guess.
Or, I'm not sure.
But also empathy as well. I guess. So, but if you were asked, what's the most important value you wish to teach the younger generations, what would it be? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Our friend Gene back on the line from Eau Claire listening to us on the tap. Thanks for calling in, Gene. What say you? What's the one important value, the most important, that you would like to teach younger generations?
Boy, I'll tell you something. That is the question of the century. Because in all honesty, when I hear faith in God, and I remember when I went to college years and years ago, I started on my 17th birthday, you know, I took Judaism, and I, you know, and then I had people knocking on my door talking about their God, and it wasn't what I learned in Sunday school and Bible school, and I taught both, and it's like, okay, what is your concept of God? I think I would recommend asking lots of questions, doing lots of research, and definitely the golden rule and empathy within reason.
Right.
You got to trust your instincts too and not be misled by people like Donald J. Trump, who one minister was calling him blasphemous for selling a Bible with a Constitution inside of it. So, yeah, a lot of really important questions. Thank you so much for this show. Outstanding job today. Thank you, guys.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you so much, Gene. Always appreciate the call. Be like Gene. Give us a call. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's the most important value you wish to teach the younger generations? So there you go. We'll try that again, Todd. Here's the deal. I'm on this Sudafed crap to dry up my nasal passages, and it's dried. I have cotton mouth constantly, and I've been sucking on ginger candy. That helps a little bit.
Sucking on lemons and eating prunes.
No, that's not what we want to do, Mr. Todd. We want to be positive.
I know.
But nicely done, as a matter of fact. Quarter till the hour, and I want to switch a little bit here. Do we have time to do this before the break?
Or yes.
All right. So here is, maybe we should just do it when we come back from the break. Huh? Then we can talk about it more.
We've got 3 minutes, so up to you.
Oh, all right. Well, all right. So let's play. This is from The Daily Show a couple of days ago, I believe. This is John Haidt, I believe Haidt. Wrote The Anxious Generation. I want you to listen to his observation and we'll talk about it. Here is John Haidt from The Daily Show a couple nights ago.
Something happened to young people born after 1995. All of a sudden in the early 2010s, their mental health collapsed, rates of anxiety and depression skyrocketed, self-harm is up like 150% for younger teen girls, suicide is up 50%. Something happened in the early 2010s. And my argument in the book is a tragedy in two acts. The first act is the loss of the play-based childhood. It's what anybody over 40 in this audience had. You were out with your friends after school. There was nobody supervising. You had to learn how to work out conflicts, how to face adversity. So that's what kids have had for hundreds of thousands of years. It's part of being a mammal. You play, you develop skills. We began to crack down on that, to lock kids up in the 90s, to not let them out. So we're restricting what they most need, which is play, from the 90s through the 2000s. But mental health doesn't collapse then. It's actually pretty stable. Then we get Act Two, which is the arrival of the phone-based childhood. And what that is in 2010, everybody had a flip phone. The iPhone had come out, but most teens had a flip phone. No front-facing camera, no social media on the phone, no high-speed data. And by 2015, everyone's got all those other things. Now suddenly everyone has a smartphone, front-facing camera, high-speed internet, social media, especially Instagram on the phone. And almost like someone turned a switch in 2013, girls in America and many other countries suddenly become very anxious, depressed, and self-harming.
That was John Haidt, author of The Anxious Generation, appearing on The Daily Show this week. I heard that, Mr. Summers, and I'm like, wow. I just that really hits home as someone that has younger nieces, who have a couple of godsons, all of them in the, well, my youngest niece is 17 now. But I think there's something to this. As a 25-year-old, what say you?
I think it's the same kind of thing as being on reality TV. Humans are not accustomed to, we never were meant to be in a constant state of observation. Mm-hmm. Like when you're on a reality show, you kind of just go crazy because your whole life revolves around being watched. Right. And when you're constantly connected to the internet, the same thing happens. You're constantly being watched and constantly watching. And we kind of can't take it.
To quote Star Trek, the original series, Mr. Spock to Captain Kirk, quote, "Captain, we are being watched," unquote. Come back with more of your calls and also comments on our question earlier. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allbowles Show for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. News, weather, and sports, followed by our friend and colleague, the fabulous award-winning Maggie Dawn and the Maggie Dawn Show. Every afternoon, 2 until 4, the Maggie Dawn Show. Do not miss it. Want to follow up this, appreciate all the comments and phone calls here. Going to get to them before the end of the show. Latest National Public Radio and Marist poll shows America's divided even on core values. They ask the question, what is the most important value you wish to teach the younger generation? 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Tony in beautiful Beaver Dam. Tony, what's the most important value that you would want to teach younger generations?
I have a hard time putting that into words. My comment was when I was going through catechism, mm-hmm. you know, 14 years old or so, and I asked our minister, it's like, okay, I spend my life, you know, believing in this religion and praying to God and all, and when I get to the pearly gates, there's a giant, fat man greeting me at the door, and meaning a Buddha. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't have an answer for that.
Right. Well, go ahead.
So,
no,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say anything else. I mean, I think a lot of teenagers, a lot of kids go through it and ask the same question. I mean, I did to a certain degree as growing up in the Methodist Church. I happened to have a really great pastor at the time, Sarah Cheney, who was fantastic and allowed us as youth the space and actually encouraged us to be asking questions about that and then to have real discussions about on it. And we don't have time to get into the larger issue of faith and what that really means.
Although,
but I think it's normal for kids to have that type of question and for people to wonder.
On that topic, I think that This texter, Beth from Wisconsin Rapids, texted in and I think addressed that point very well. Beth says, quote, "As an ordained pastor, it seems to me that faith means love. Jesus told us to love one another, which means seeking to help and support everyone. Jesus reached out and sought to bring in those in society cast out or made the other."
Mm. No, that's a great great text from the pastor there. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842. Also listening, Camilla listening on WAUK in Waukesha says, "Todd, all the good values rolled up in one. My mantra is, quote, being a human, a good human matters." Again, being a good human matters. That from Carmella in Milwaukee. Also texting in on the Civic Media app, answering the question of what is the most important value you wish to teach the younger generations. Fidelity and integrity, this listener says. If you make a promise to your spouse, business partner, the nation, live by that promise. That's from Beth listening on WFHR.
That's from somebody else.
Oh, all right, in Wisconsin Rapids. Well, we appreciate listenership in Wisconsin Rapids. Let's go to the phone lines again, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's the most important value you wish to teach the younger generations? Andrew, listening over in beautiful Detroit, Michigan, across Lake Michigan. Andrew, thanks for listening on the app. What say you?
Hey, Todd, I just heard this morning that almost all cultures have the idea of do unto others as they would do unto you. Well, that's a mouthful. Let's narrow it down. Mm-hmm. Kindness. In one word, kindness.
Yeah.
Thanks, Todd.
Hey, thank you, Andrew. Really appreciate the phone call. Appreciate listening over there in beautiful Michigan. And thoughts with folks. I know that some people in Michigan went through some pretty tough storms, I believe tornado last night, of some rough weather over there. So sending our thoughts and prayers certainly to those folks over in Michigan today. 5 minutes now before the hour of 2 o'clock when Maggie Dawn takes over. I think I appreciate all this great discussion. Still a couple of minutes if you'd like to join us. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. What's the most important value that you wish to teach younger generations? It's a great question. And I think it gets again to if you disagree along political lines over that fundamental question, hard to kind of get together politically after that. You have to agree on basic core values that really shouldn't do anything with politics to start making progress, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the callers and texters agree with that. And a lot of what we consider morality, be it from a religion, from society, just your personal beliefs, comes from what we're all circling around with empathy, the golden rule, kindness, love. Mm. And you're not going to be going around stealing and murdering people if you act with kindness, if you act with love. And you're not going to be going around committing sexual assault or anything. Oh, like man. All these heinous acts, or even just the smaller things, going and lying to people or bearing false witness or things like that. If you're acting with love and thinking of other people, you're not going to be doing that.
Yeah. Or as our friend in Detroit said, just boil it down to kindness, right? Just kindness. You can, if you're not a person of faith, that's fine. You can remove the religious elements from it and just say, why don't we just treat everybody with kindness? That's probably the best rule to live on rather. I heard it boiled down we're on radio, of course. We have to be careful. But, one person said to clean it up for radio, don't be a jerk.
Yeah.
That's even more, maybe simpler for some. Just don't be a jerk. That can take care of a lot of woes there. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Maybe we can sneak in one more caller here. Again, don't forget Maggie Dawn coming up after the top of the hour, depending upon the market that you are in, either ABC, CBS, or AP News here at the top of the hour, followed by a check of our Civic Media News team, and then on to the Maggie Dawn show off the top of the hour. Quickly going back to the phone lines, listening on WMDX in Madison. Kathy can sneak you in here. Thanks for listening. What say you?
Hi. I wanted to address the voter ID issue. I went and got one yesterday on the east side of Madison.
Okay.
Which is off Stoughton Road. I just got a paper copy. They said they'd send me the card Friday or Saturday. So that's pretty good. Anyway, it doesn't cost anything either. In my situation, I had a driver's license that was less than 8 years old, plus I took my social security card, but I was actually in the system with just minimal ID, you know?
Okay. Great, Kathy. So, I appreciate we're up against the clock. I appreciate the call. Kathy, thank you so much for calling. Again, bottom line, just be kind. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Thanks to Trigvi Olson, Pat Kreitlow, also Mr. Zomers on the board, and of course, you for listening. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow. Banging on your drum, keep banging on, and you're there.